Every once in a while you hear about a program and you think, wow, this is an amazing idea. And then you find out that it's been around for quite a while and you wonder, huh, I wonder why I didn't. Why didn't I know about this a lot sooner? And then when you find out even more about it, you realize that maybe you did in some way know about it, but it's just amazing what they've been able to accomplish. I am speaking somewhat cryptically, but I will make it much more clear now that since 1996, Capital Region Sponsor a Scholar has been helping students from low-income families acquire the academic skills they need to earn high school diplomas and enter college. The agency, founded by civic leaders and social entrepreneurs in 1996, currently serves over 400 aspiring scholars from Albany, Schenectady, and Troy high schools. Support includes weekly homework sessions, paid tutors, graphing calculators, fees for advanced placement courses, SAT preparation, and testing for college and for college visits and applications. Here to tell us more about the great work that the Capital Region Sponsor a Scholar does is their executive director, Bill Corbett. Bill, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, I guess what I was trying to say at the beginning there, my preamble, if you will, was that it is it's one of those things that we talk so much about college education and the paying of that, and the loans and the debt and all of that, and that has sort of consumed our conversation when it comes to college. But there's a lot just to get to that point, obviously, and that is where you all step in. So give us a sense of what you felt the need was.
Well, when Bill Barnett and Charlie Buchanan started this program, they were looking at the graduation rate for underserved students in Albany, Troy, and Schenectady, which at that time was tracking at about 50% or lower. What they tried to do was take a cohort of kids that they felt they could provide a modest amount of help to and change the graduation rate for that bunch of students. And so what we do is take in federal free reduced lunch list students who have about a B, C average as they're coming out of their freshman year in high school, demonstrating leadership. We provide weekly homework sessions, that advanced placement rigor that you talked about before, and position them so that by the time they're done 3 years later as seniors in high school, they're really competitive with most of the kids coming out of other schools in the Capital District and on their way to some very, very good colleges.
How are the kids identified?
We have full-time guidance counselors in each of the three school districts who work for us part-time, and we pay them like you would a coach. So the coach of the baseball team at the high school might also be the social studies teacher. Well, our guys are full-time guidance counselors who work for us a few extra hours a week to identify the students who are going to come in as sophomores, set up the homework sessions, the tutoring, and the rigor that the students are going to face while they go through school, and then make sure that they're on their way with all the particulars about getting into a college that a lot of first-generation families really find almost impossible to get over if they don't have some help.
And that's the thing, is that when you say first-generation families, I mean, it is not an easy road to go down. And, I mean, this is where the commentary part of my but it seems like it's much more complicated sometimes than it has to be.
Right.
But because you have so many different situations, you have to go through and figure out which one you fall into and so forth. So you make that road a lot easier.
Correct. And one of the things that we do is with the modest help that we can provide on a regular basis and the small fees that we can take care of, it removes hurdles that otherwise would keep these kids from graduating from high school and from going on to college. So if you compare the success rate with our students versus the kids who don't have the program, we graduate 95% of our kids from high school versus 50% or fewer for the regular population. The college numbers are even more impressive. The College Board talks about an 8% success rate for college completion by federal free reduced lunch list kids across the country. We're graduating kids 65% of the time from college courses that they start.
Where are we right now in the process? Some kids have graduated. Some kids are getting ready to graduate. So as far as this program goes, where are you in the process?
Well, In 2 days, or tomorrow, we'll have our graduation celebration for all the seniors who will tell us where they're going to college. We're also in the process of bringing in the sophomores, their graduating freshmen who will come in as sophomores next year and start the program. And then we're on a regular basis talking to about the 150 kids that we have in college about where they are in the process of completing either an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. And to each of those students, we provide $750 for every successful semester they complete.
How much of this program is, this going back to the early days of the program, but how much of this was new to all of you, and how much has been now, with the success, been replicated in other areas and other schools? Do you have a sense of reach of this?
Yeah, we've actually been able to help Boston Spa replicate the program, as well as Saratoga. And both of those programs now are graduating college students. So about 8 years ago, I started working with Boston Spa, who now has two graduating classes from college. And 7 years ago, I started helping Saratoga, which has now had its first graduating class from college. So in the Capital District at this point, we're graduating up to 50 students a year from college, who probably otherwise you would be looking at about four. So it's a pretty significant impact in this area. Whether or not it's national is questionable. There's not a lot of programs that, like us, help the kids once they get into college. There's lots of programs that will help these students in high school get to college. But what we really are able to do is close the circle at the point where we stay with them until they get a college degree.
So, and I guess just my question is, given all of that, mm-hmm. And given that fact of why more wouldn't try to close that circle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things is, and we've learned this the hard way, is it's very hard to track the kids once they go off to college. And so you have to have something that entices them to come back to you two times a year to show you how they're doing in school and tell you the problems that they're having in college. So the typical student, freshman who's gone off to college in December, comes back and says, you know, my roommate's crazy, the food is terrible, and the school is way too far away from home. Well, we give them $750. We tell them, go back to the school and talk to your RA about the crazy roommate and, you know, try to find out something about the food. But, you know, maybe the school isn't that far. They come back in May, and miraculously, the crazy roommate's dropped out. The food has gotten better. And they're going to stay there this summer and work at a job that's close to the campus. So once you can get them over that first hurdle in December as a freshman, you really start to see a much better success rate. But trying to get the kids in college to come back to your program and track them so that you can keep your donors who are starting with the kids as sophomores in high school behind your program is a big piece. And it's one of the things that when I work with other programs in the area that support students like this in high school, I really encourage them at this point to try to find a way to keep in contact with their college students, find some modest means of getting them to come back so that by the time they go back, they'll stay in the program.
Is it helpful at all to go through the college to have them help you lasso the kids in?
Yes, because the thing that we can provide to the colleges, which they're desperate for, I won't say desperate, that's unfair, which they really, it's appetizing to them, is a student from a diverse background who's going to complete their program.
Right.
So if they've been through 3 years with us, sophomore, junior, and senior year in high school, in a distressed urban school, and have been successful, by the time you get them to a Colgate or a Fordham or a UAlbany, they're going to stay on campus and complete the program. So we can provide for them students who are motivated academically from a diverse background who are going to complete. The colleges love that. So the ones who we have a good relationship with are really willing, even at the last minute, even as late as now, to say, I'll take one of your students if they need a college to go to at this point.
Who ultimately is sponsoring the scholar?
We have many, many, many individuals, corporations, and foundations who are willing to pay $10,000 for every student that comes into our program. The way they typically do it is pay $2,000 a year for 5 years, and the $6,000 of the last three payments we hold in trust. And when the student graduates from high school, that's the $750 that they get for every successful semester they complete.
So it's more of a one-for-one, meaning that you are indeed sponsoring a kid and not just the program as a whole.
Absolutely. The first two payments goes toward the general operation of the program, so the tutoring and things like that. So that goes to all the kids in high school. But when a donor gives the $10,000 and commits, by the next September, I can give them the name of the student that will get the money. And it's a very, very appetizing thing to the donors. A lot of them talk about how it's a one-to-one program and the fact that they like to see the progress a student makes in high school and the fact that they eventually get a college degree.
When it comes to the college degree, so brag a little. What colleges are we talking about here?
Well, we've had kids go to Johns Hopkins. We've had them at Fordham, NYU, UAlbany, UBuffalo, Siena, the College of St. Rose. You know, all of the top flights programs, Union, in the area and beyond. Most of them stay within New York State because the TAP program, which is a significant part of their support, is not portable. So they're not able to take it outside. So if they apply to a school outside of New York State, they're probably getting a very good package because one of the things they're giving up, and the guidance counselors that work for us help them understand this, is they're not going to get New York State support because it's not going to go with them if they go outside the state.
And that's the other thing, too, is that in some cases, say a school has an eye on a kid for a particular program, whatever package they're going to offer is going to work better for the student, perhaps, than what a sponsorship would hold. So then the student would go there, right? I mean, it works in many different ways.
Correct. Because one of the things that we suggest to our students is when they take the $750 check back to college, we really want them to spend that on things that are other than tuition and fees, because it's such a modest amount of money.
What other things?
Well, such as traveling back and forth to college.
Okay.
Gifts for the family that they have at holidays. Going out for pizza with their friends when everybody else is going.
Okay.
And the thing is, if they don't have that kind of money, my kids will work at CVS 50 hours a week, but then they'll wind up being bounced out of school because they won't be able to stay up with their academics.
Right.
The research is clear. 15 hours or fewer a week on a college student as far as work outside to earn a few bucks. The money that we give them is to support them while they're on the campus so that they can do the other things and take advantage of the life that's available to them on a college campus.
You've been doing this program since 96.
Correct.
And so you've seen kids go full circle. And again, back to the bragging question.
Sure.
So you have kids that have graduated. So now you've seen them hopefully become wonderful products and wonderful parts of our society.
Absolutely. In fact, we had a young guy from Troy the other day who was the top board member at the Troy Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. And do they help mentor other kids that are interested or are a part of the program?
They do. They come back and talk at the homework sessions, because one of the things that's good for our younger kids to see is the fact that a kid who looks like them, who's relatively young still, has made it through the whole process.
Yes. And give them an idea of what the challenges are.
Absolutely.
And this is a final question, and I apologize if it's somewhat loaded, but, you know, then what do we... From your perspective, are there things that we can do just to make it less challenging as a whole?
For the whole process to get them into college and things like that? I think there is, and I think there's a lot of ways that the colleges are working on this. And some of the attempts to do Common Apps and one place to go for scholarships and one place to go for financial aid is really a big help for the kids like ours. Because if they can just send one application out to five or six different colleges, that's a lot easier than trying to find each of the six colleges, find out what the fee is going to be, come up with a check for each one. Every time you do that kind of thing to a student like ours, it's more likely that they're not going to complete the whole process. So anything on the college's side, and they are working on a lot of different initiatives to make it easier for kids to access the college education.
Well, it's a great program and a fascinating program, and a really great work, and certainly at this time of year to see it all come to fruition is wonderful. If you want to find out more, you can go to crsas.org. That is Capital Region Sponsor Scholar. It's crsas.org. And you can find out information about the program and about the sponsorships. It's Capital Region Sponsor a Scholar. Their executive director is Bill Corbett. Bill, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, crsas.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.